Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about... Okay, this is a podcast on vitamin B12. This is Chris is in the car with me. We're just driving up to Bunnings to buy some 9 volt batteries for our fire alarms. We've got new fire alarms, which have got the sort of background supply from the electricity, so they don't burn out, but we still have to buy batteries from time to time, so Chris is doing it. We've just been into hospital and visited a friend of ours, and Chris has looked at his tongue and looked at a series of things and believes that from your background that vitamin B12's something you just missed in modern health. Do you want to take us away a bit, Tim? Do you want to say anything, Tim?
Chris.
Yeah. Bloody hell.
Yeah. Well, vitamin B12 is one of the essential ingredients of life. If you're a vegan, you know, you'll run short of vitamin B12 after a while. And if you do run short of it, well, you know, the consequences are you end up with a megaloblastic anemia.
So what's megaloblastic?
Megaloblastic. So the cells that are in your bone marrow are larger than normal. The red cell precursors.
Ah, right. Yeah. Right.
And you end up with, and because they'll die earlier, you end up with a high LDH. But the thing is...
Does LDH...
Lactic dehydrogenase. You know, it's just one of the measurements of...
Slow this down a bit. Lactic is lactic acid. Yep. Is that right? Yep. So that's
Well, it's an enzyme because it ends in A, so lactic dehydrogenase.
So you end up with
increased levels of that. You know, and that's just one of the parameters you can measure to pick up what might be going wrong. Now, with megaloblastic anemia, it is anemia, right? But what happens is it causes subacute degeneration of the spinal cord. Now, if we look back to the early...
So subacute means that... your spinal cord just withers away. Subacute means that it will eventually become acute, is that right?
And then, well, you have an abnormal gait when you walk, which, you know, is really peculiar. If you ever see someone with it, you'll never forget it, right? And also, one of the things you can look at is a patient's tongue. If they have a red, beefy tongue, and if you ask them, you know, what happens if you put acidic things on it, really kills their tongue. They won't have pili on it. A pili are a little, like, they're like pillars, you know, but...
They're like machine gun pillar boxes of taste buds.
Yeah, and they disappear also in iron deficiency, but with B12 you've got a red, swollen tongue. You can get a red, swollen tongue in B3 and B6 as well, but with... And people, you also get vitiligo, you know, which means you get discoloration of your skin. But at the end of it all, you can get cardiac failure, everything, you know, it's an anemia, which is not a good thing to have, you know. And it also plays a part in the birth of your child. People are now very much into taking folic acid before you become pregnant, because the neural tube in a baby forms very early in the pregnancy, right, in the first, you know, 2 weeks. So... if you have folic acid, they found, and your kid's got spina bifida, and the thing is, why you get a spina bifida is because you get an increase in homocysteine, right? But also, you can get exactly the same effect if you've got lack of B12, and that will also cause spina bifida. Now,
can we just slow down for a second?
Sorry.
There? Oh, no, I was just going to say, one of the things is that... when you read these things, you hope, you know, I've read these things in science articles, and you expect that if all this is true, there's going to be a change in, only sort of massive change in dietary things, and certain things will disappear. So there's an example of that. So cholera has disappeared largely, or smallpox has disappeared. We've had a medical intervention and something has gone, is a sign of the past. Is there evidence that people are taking more dietary care of themselves and reducing these?
No, I don't think so. Like, I just heard of a girl last week. She was a member of a family friend who had a child with spina bifida. And when I look at her, I thought, gee, she has put on an awful lot of weight, which is quite common these days, I know. But, you know, but she said she'd been taking a folic acid 2 months before she had the baby and it had spina bifida. Well, that's because it had to be B12. But do you think a doctor would order a B12? No, didn't do it. So, and also, and I realised, I presume why she's such a large woman now, because if you have B12 deficiency, there's about a 72% chance you'll have hypothyroid or Hashimoto's disease and you'll put on weight. You know, you have an underactive thyroid and you put on weight. You know, so all these things are going to come against you as a pregnant woman, or when you finish your gestational period, you have to look after a baby and you're anemic. Now, as a haematologist, when you're looking, in the old days, everyone looked at blood films. You know, when you take blood and you put it through a machine, you get your haemoglobin, your white cell count, your platelets, your MCNV and things like that. But the best thing to do is look at a blood film now.
So, this is for the listeners overseas, so I'm going to be interested in this. In general, there's a particle size analysis, some sort of light beam goes through. Yeah, and looks at
Lasers and scatter. Yeah.
The laser and scattering, looking at the diffraction pattern here, and interpret that. So, just for a little side lecture on it, diffraction works on the smaller the feature, the larger the diffraction image. So, something very small and crinkly will produce a very intense diffraction pattern. Something very regular will have a regular diffraction pattern. And so you can get a whole lot of information about individual cells, but it's statistically mucked up. It's sort of like a digital metadata of a picture as opposed to an actual photograph. So if I take a photograph, you can analyze that photograph to the amount of shakiness, white and blue, all these features, but the actual, your one-on-one image of it is a slide. Is that right? A slide. So this is the old traditional thing of the old man or old people looking down a microscope on a film. But and there's definitely information you can get out of that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, Medibank doesn't pay you to look at a blood film, so people don't look at a blood film, right? And if you had a B12 deficiency, unless the doctor ordered B12, you wouldn't pick it up, especially in the early stages. But if you look at a blood film, you'll see macrocytes, which are larger red cells. You'll see teardrop poikilocytes, you know, which is a red cell that looks like it's just been squeezed out and it's got a teardrop on the end of it. And you might see a nucleated red, occasional myelocyte, things like that, which would give you an indication that there's something going on. And would, you know, and you do a B12 folate, you know, you'd suggest it.
So just to put some more information into that, these are abnormal blood cells which you can pick up from.
But there's not enough in there to be flagged. You just see the occasional ones. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So this is one in a million or one in a thousand.
Yeah,
so. But now the interesting thing about blood cells is that they're the one cell they're missing. Oh my God! There's some sort of accident coming up here. I'm just trying to see what lane do you think we should be in this lane? I'm going to.
Yeah. See, there is an accident up here. See the police station.
There you go. So this is. Yet, so we're just...
Everything's happening. Oh, they're pulling over the drunks. We're in trouble.
Okay.
They should be pulling over after the link stops you.
Okay. Yes, so the blood cell has all the organelles in it, mitochondria and complex things, but it's missing from it is the nucleus. This means the blood cell is slightly smaller. So your blood cell, when you say...
The red cells, yeah.
The red cells have no nucleus.
It's unusual to see a nucleated red cell, but you would see an occasional one in megaloblastic anemia or B12 deficiency.
It's truly. Yeah. This is the what happens if the nucleus gets taken out. Okay, well, what are you doing, mate? Are you going to pick us? Chris, good old Chris.
Oh, God, I had a drink last year. I'm back in trouble.
Oh, no. Oh, God. The horrible thing here is reaching your pocket and getting out the... they're setting up, I think.
Yeah, no, look, they're a bit retarded.
Okay.
Okay, mate. Escape.
Oh, that's okay.
Back to the B12, you know, so... so once it's got established B12 deficiency and you have a subacute degeneration of the spinal cord, you will not recover. It's irreversible. So you'll have a funny gait when you walk... and I said, and it's really debilitating. We just visited a friend who I'm sure has got pernicious anemia, but you know, 2 years ago we tried to get it done, but his doctor wouldn't do it, and then he got cancer of throat, and his doctor said it's got nothing to do with cancer of throat, so it's never done, and now it's all the damage is done. But so you can see it's very important, you know, it's just important to be normal. So, you know, if you go to a doctor, and also you can get very depressed in B12 deficiency. You know, one of my grandsons, you know, he was getting testosterone because he was so undersized. You know, he had a lot of problems when he was born, you know, and so we were injecting with I was injecting with B12, right? And but what happened was he got depressed. Anyway, I went and saw him, looked at his tongue, had red beefy tongue. We did his B12 and he was out of B12. So we started injecting with B12, no longer depressed, and he's as good as gold.
I find it absolutely amazing that what a complexity that a lot of these diseases affect, like the heart disease, for instance, that's something which, amazing, affects your mental outlook, and then your mental outlook affects your interaction with relatives, which affects your interaction with the medical system, and it really gets out of control.
Well, you're a machine, aren't you? If part of you goes wrong, you know, other things are going to be affected, aren't they?
Yeah, I just find that a fascinating thing to go across, because ideally they say blah 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 blah, blah, and what do you think? Make a decision, informed decision. Basically, well, it can't be an informed decision because you don't understand it. You have to say, do I trust this particular person? He's dressed well. He's sitting behind a chair. He's got such and such a stuff. And if I say what I really think, I'll shock everybody else. So it's really, really hard to do. It's easily, this sort of power thing can easily get you depressed. So vitamin deficiencies can affect your brain.
Absolutely.
The things, so there's vitamins things, there's diseases. I also think your peers, you have a peer group around you, and you go off, the dynamics go off associated with you, and you can actually just drift away. Now,
I'll just tell you before you end, is that there's two antibodies associated with this. There's parietal cell antibodies and intrinsic factor antibodies, and they stop you absorbing B12. Now, people that have that take Nexium and things like that, if they haven't got enough gastric juice, you don't absorb intrinsic factor. If you've got things wrong with your bowels, you know, you won't absorb B12. So, you know, it's a very common disease, I guess it is, really, and or disease can cause a manifestation of B12 deficiency. And, you know, and that's why it's always very careful for doctors to take a careful clinical history and examine you, you know. You know, look, you know, people with blue eyes, they're more common to get B12 deficiency for some reason. Fair hair. I'd say it's probably the most undiagnosed, treatable disease probably in the Western world. So.
Underdiagnosed.
Yeah.
This is full knowing that everybody out there has got their, almost everyone I speak to, I don't know, They either have a disease that they think's out there, or there are some people who I know who shop amongst the different diseases, and you know, different deficiencies or their allergies and stuff like that. So this is possibly a good sign that people are living long enough and not going around catching diseases and breaking legs and limbs. I'm just checking here, giving it here. We're going to have to finish this soon. But, well, what I'm really trying to say is that this is really the next item on the agenda after we fix the sort of major things of, you know, lions and tigers eating us and neighbours stabbing us. Now that we're not dying that way, we've got to actually move the ticker over to work out the next way that we're going to die, and the next way we're going to die, or at least not live well, it seems to be this vitamin B. So I'm just going to finish that now, and that's the end of the podcast. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.